Praise the Lord. This morning we are... Had a bug. Hang on. Bear with me here. Try this again. Yay, technology. All right. This morning, as our assurance of salvation, we're going to be talking about overcoming temptation. You say, well, what does that have to do with the assurances of salvation? Well, you know, when we get saved, immediately we begin to think about heaven, don't we? You know, we're saved from what? We're saved from hell. We're saved from judgment. We get to go to heaven. I mean, that's still the greatest thought I can think of about salvation. But between heaven and now, there is a whole lot of battles. Amen? There's a whole lot of battles. And sometimes we get to focus on the big war, and we forget about the little battles that make up the big war. You know, when I was a kid, I used to ask my dad, tell me about the war, Dad. I used to love to hear his stories, and a while back, some of you on Facebook read some of the heroic stories of my dad during World War II, and he probably wouldn't want me to know that I was posting them, but I used to just love to listen to these stories of him escaping from the Germans and all that. But you know, when you talk about World War II or any major war, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people's stories about the battles. Amen. And it's the individual battles that make up the war. It is war. We're in war when we talk about overcoming temptation. And because it's war, we focus on the battles and not on the big war. A couple of verses to look at. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places is simply saying that it's in the spiritual realm. Amen. I'm not fighting a person. I'm not fighting you. You're not fighting me. If you find yourself constantly fighting people, stop it. Your battle is not people. Your battle is the devil. And you need to focus your energy on the battle with the devil, not with people. Amen? It's in the heavenly place. It's spiritual. And 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, I'm not going to deliberate the issue of once saved, always saved, or eternal security, or whatever. I believe that it takes a lot for a person to get to the place where you may lose your salvation. But every one of those battles chip away at that thing, chip away at your faith. You know, when you give in to sin, it's like pouring water on your faith. And you do that enough, and your faith begins to diminish and diminish. That's why God warns us not to give in to sin. It has all kinds of effects on our life in the spiritual realm that we don't fully even understand. And the devil is like a roaring lion just out there looking for ways to you know, you think of a lion with these claws that just slice away at your faith through trials and tribulations and offenses and all kinds of things. He's just roaring, looking for an opportunity to win the battle, because if he wins enough battles, he will win the war. You hear what I'm saying? Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, we use this in what we call the Romans road when we're winning someone to Christ. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10. And the focus is on the eternal life, but you know, this verse talks about wages for sin. It means that when I give in as a Christian, when I give in to temptation, that there is going to be a payday, there's going to be a cost for my action. You hear what I'm saying? And if I give in to it, I can expect a cause and effect. I can expect wages for the sin that I commit. Romans 6:1 and 2 tells us, what should we say then? Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It is not God's will for us to give in to temptation. Can I say that one more time? It is not God's will for you to give in to temptation. Do we give in to temptation? Sometimes we do. And when you give in to temptation and you've been defeated in that area, they call it besetting sins or strongholds, then it's easier to give in the second time and the third time and the fifth time. You don't believe that? Talk to a drug addict. Amen? They didn't start out to be a drug addict. They started out to try it, right? And it's the same way. I'm not picking on drugs. I mean, it's the same way with, you know, impure thoughts or anger or any number of these things, that when you give in to it, it becomes your Lord and Master. And so it's not God's will to give in to it, that God does not intend us to be servants of sin, but to have victory in our lives. Amen? We read this a few weeks ago on our Wednesday night study of Genesis, that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. You see, the devil knows where your weakness is. He knows how you're made up. He knows what to whisper in your ear. And don't think that he doesn't whisper in Christian's ear. I mean, here's Eve, a woman who was as close to God as anyone has ever been. This is before the fall. And he whispers in her ear. So if he whispers in a woman who was the first created woman, who was clothed in light, you know, when they gave into sin, it said they knew they were naked. The question is, were they naked before? No, they were clothed in the light. I believe when we get to heaven, the robes of righteousness is light that is clothing and covering us. And they were clothed in this light, this glory of God, and when they sinned, the light went away, and they knew they were naked. So here's a woman who's clothed in the light of God and still can hear the whispers of the liar, of the devil. So don't think that the devil can't whisper in your ear. He is very subtle, and he plays mind games with you. Romans 8:7 tells us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And that word enmity means actively opposed or hostile. Now, most of us wouldn't say, I am hostile against God. But if we give in to carnal thoughts on a continuous basis, then our mind becomes hostile to God. That's what that verse is saying. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Being not subject to God means I'm not going to follow God's rules. I refuse to follow God's rules. I'm stubborn. I have enmity toward God. I'm not going to do it God's way. But, as I said earlier, it's war, but it's spiritual. It is spiritual. It's war, but it's spiritual. When I give into temptation, even if it's just to overeat, it's spiritual. You say, well, that's overeating isn't spiritual. Oh, yes, it is. It's spiritual. And when you see someone obese, it's because they are substituting a need in their life with food. If you don't believe it, ask people, what do you do when you're depressed? I eat. Have you ever heard anybody say that? They have a need in their life that God wants to fill, and they fill it with something else. Everything that is carnal, everything that is of the flesh, is spiritual depravity. And that's the war that we're in when we overcome temptation. 2 Corinthians 10:3 tells us, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know what? Again, that means it's spiritual. It means even though I'm in a flesh and blood body, that I am warring in the spiritual realm. Amen? I'm warring in the spiritual realm. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us, and don't marvel about this, for Satan himself transforms himself into the angel of light. And so we understand then that it could be another pastor. It could be a religious speaker on TV. It could be someone you look up to that the devil can use, because he can transform himself into angel light. And then, of course, one of my favorite verses that I memorized years ago, 1 John 5:4. Say it with me. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? You say, well, Brother Rod, you don't know what the devil's doing to me. You know what? Your power to overcome the devil resides in your faith. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, bless God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. And so we fight the spiritual battle by faith. It's spiritual, but we fight it by faith. Now, God expects you to what? Say it with me, win. Amen. God expects us to win in the battle of temptation. God wants us to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil. Amen. And so we are expected to win. So how do I do that? Well, Ephesians tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we won't go into the whole armor of God. Right after Carolyn and I met, and she started coming to Faith Fellowship, I was doing a series on Ephesians 6, the armor of God. How many of you guys were here back then? Anybody? A few of you. We have this thing in the kids' room. I saw it yesterday, big giant Nerf arrow thing. I had a little fake shield of faith. I said, shoot this at me. She about took my head off of that thing. She was supposed to aim it down at the shield. I had to duck. It was heading right between my eyes. That's all right. The wiles of the devil or the wife with the weapon, whichever way you want to do that. I'm not calling you the devil, sweetheart. John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, I think I'm going to preach a sermon. I was thinking about this week on bondage. And, you know, it is giving in to sin that puts you in jail. It's truth that has the key that unlocks the door to liberate you from prison. Amen. And truth is what makes you free. Matthew 18:18, Jesus speaking, verily I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. A lot of people get confused about this. Heaven is the same word of this high places that we read earlier. He's not talking about heaven where God is. He's talking about the spiritual realm that we have. If you can tie someone up, you can grab someone, hold them down, and tie them up with a rope or handcuff someone like the police do here, then God, through Jesus Christ, has given you the power to do the same thing in the realm of the demons, is what he's saying. You have the power to stop demonic influence in your life through the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad? That's right. And so, if it's a war, and it's spiritual, and God wants me to win, so how do I win? You know, that's all good, Pastor, but tell me how to beat this temptation in my life. Tell me how to have overcoming power over temptation. Before we can answer how to win, we must define what I'm fighting. You know, as I said earlier, wars are made up by little battles. Amen. Wars are made up by multiple battles. There was not one big battle that made up the war, World War II. There was different battles. There were battles on different continents. There was the Battle of the Bulge. How many of you guys ever heard that? It doesn't mean you need to loosen your belt, right? My dad was in the Battle of the Bulge. It's when the Germans kept trying to push the line that we had in Europe, and they didn't break through, but they pushed it back, and it bulged back. Now, this was not a pleasant battle. It was so cold there. I was telling this to Carolyn the other day. My dad said that they slept an hour or two in shifts and usually sitting up because it was so cold you would freeze to death. You know, can you imagine having to live under those kind of conditions? You know, war is hell. Excuse me, that's a term they use, and it really is. And you might feel like right now the devil is messing with you so much that you're going through hell, but you know what? God wants you to win. And you're going to win the war by winning the battle first. And the battles are individual daily events. Jesus talked about dying daily. Daily battles must be won in order to win the war. Say that with me. Daily battles must be won in order to win the war. If I'm going to win this war, I got to win today's battle. I can't be worrying about next week. Jesus said don't take thought about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Live each day for now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. So I'm going to focus on what I'm dealing with now. Hebrews 10:22 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What does all that mean, Brother Roger? It means that I draw near to God and I have a clear conscience. Amen? It means if I overcome the devil today, I feel more saved than I did when I didn't overcome the devil. You know what? A lot of it comes down to confidence. You know what confidence is? Confidence is feeling good about yourself, right? And Christians are supposed to feel good about themselves, but if you give in to temptation, you don't feel good about yourself, do you? In fact, that's how you know you're saved. Because when sinners give in to sin, they're doing what they like. But when a Christian gives in to temptation, they feel like, they're hanging over hell on a rotten stick, you know? And you're like, oh, the devil, you know? But if you overcome the devil, if you overcome that daily temptation, then you feel good. Glory to God. I'm the man, right? And so you have this confidence, and you draw near to God with this true heart, and your heart is true, and you have this full assurance of faith that you are an overcoming child of God. Amen? And that's what God wants us to be, that overcoming child of God. And we've got our hearts sprinkled now from an evil conscience to a good conscience, because now I'm an overcomer. And James tells us again, this draw nigh verse, draw nigh to God, you'll draw nigh to me. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. And, you know, and as a Christian given into temptation, you're double-minded, aren't you? Because you're saying one thing and doing something else, right? And so we gotta draw close to God to give him the ability to give us the power to overcome temptation. So step number one, draw close to God, right? Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's called being close to God, right? It's where I pitch my tent. You know, when Abraham and Lot were disputing over the land, and Lot and Abraham both recognized there was an area of fertile soil where the cattle wanted to graze, Abraham did the magnanimous thing. He said, you take whatever part you want. And what we find is that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the next chapter, he's in Sodom. It's all where you pitch your tent. It's where you live. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That means live under the shadow of the Almighty. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The spiritual battle takes place in your mind. It's in your thought life. And you've got to be able to take authority over those thoughts in order to have victory over temptation. Amen? So step number one, draw close to God. Step number two, keep my thoughts dwelling in Christ. That's where I dwell, my thoughts. Amen? Number three, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now, that word sober doesn't necessarily mean don't get falling down drunk. It really, in its context, it means what these synonyms are for sober: serious, solemn, sensible, thoughtful, grave, somber, staid, level-headed, business-like, down-to-earth, common sense, pragmatic, conservative. You know, the most important business is still the king's business, amen? And I like that business-like, you know? And sometimes people accuse me of joking around too much, but you know, when it comes to sin, it's no laughing matter, amen? When it comes to my eternal soul, Jesus said, what would a man give for his soul, or what would he exchange for his soul? I like to joke as much as the next guy, but there's a time to be serious, and when it comes to spiritual warfare, that's when we got to be sober. That's when this is no joking matter. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be serious, solemn, sensible, thoughtful, grave, somber, staid, level-headed, business-like, down-to-earth, commonsensical, pragmatic, and conservative. In other words, take it seriously, right? So, draw close to God, keep my thoughts dwelling on Christ, take it seriously, and then here's our practice. Well, that's all good, Brother Roger, but I need something I can do. How many of you guys feel like sometimes you just need one thing you can just do at the time of temptation? Amen? There's something I can do at the time of temptation. Well, guess what? I got the answer for you. Amen. It's from the story of Jehoshaphat from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, anytime you read something in the Old Testament about the enemies coming against the people of God to battle, that's spiritual warfare. Paul said these things were written as examples to us. See, that was in the natural, but now we're in the New Testament. Everything is in the spiritual. Now, we are more mature than them. We understand there's physical battle, but the real battle is in the battle of the spirit realm. And so then they came and they told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazananatamar, which is in Engedi." Say that three times. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah." Now look at what Jehoshaphat did. Did he panic? Well, he was probably a little concerned. Did he freak out? Well, no. What did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. Amen? Well, you know what? It's time some things in my life changed. I'm going to fast. It's time some spiritual things change in my life. I'm going to deny myself. You know, afflicting yourself is a way for God to see you're serious. We talked about that sober, you know, being serious about it. When I begin to fast, God knows, well, he must be serious. He's not just paying me lip service like he has done for the last year. He must really want something to change in his life. And so he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Say that with me. They came to seek the Lord. Hey, the enemy is barking up my tree. Hey, I've got this spiritual problem going on. It's time I get serious about the things of God. It's time to seek the Lord. And so the first thing I can do is pray. Give me something practical I can do, Rod. You already told me to pray. I need something practical. Pray. Okay, but I've already prayed. Well, we'll get to the next steps, but don't forget the first one. The first one is to pray. None of the other stuff works if you don't pray. You've got to start out praying. You've got to start out just on your knees saying, "God, I've got this problem. I need your help." Now, we're going to get to the next steps. And there are some more steps, but this one is the first one. Pray. Amen. And then in verse 15 it says, "And he whose name was Jehaziel," we skipped a few verses, "the Holy Spirit come upon this guy. And he says, 'Hearken ye, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you.'" Don't you love it when a word from God starts coming? Hey, this is what we've been fasting and praying for. Okay, I got a word from God for you. Here it is. "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that it's not your battle? You have to fight. It's God's battle. See, the problem and reason why we don't overcome temptation in our life is we think that we're doing it in our own strength. Well, I got to roll up my sleeves and duke it out with the devil, you know? No, I need to pray and then remember that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. God wants you to be an overcoming Christian. God wants you to have victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. It's his battle. He didn't call you to win the battle. He called you to get in the battle and then pass the baton on to the king. Amen. He said, "Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." You know, when I am in temptation, sometimes I forget, oh yeah, the Lord's here. You know, the reason we give in to temptation is because we don't think the Lord's there. When Moses killed the Egyptian in the desert, the Bible says he looked this way and that way. He didn't look up. He thought nobody knew. He thought he got away from it. But, you know, when we give in to temptation, the Lord is there, isn't he? The Lord's right there. And if we live with the awareness that Jesus is right here with us, in my living room, in my bedroom, in my car, in my workplace, God wants us to live with that constant awareness. The Lord is there with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It's no longer my battle. So the first thing I do is I pray. The second thing I remember is, hey, what am I getting so freaked out about? This is not my battle. The battle is the Lord's. And so then instead of saying, oh, Brother Roger, pray for me, I got a problem. You say, Lord, you got a problem. This is not my problem. This is your problem. You made me. You're going to have to fix this thing. You know, one of the most miraculous prayers that God ever answered was one when I prayed just like that. My mother used to smoke like a chimney. I mean, all the time. If I went to go visit her, she kept that house locked up tight as a drum, and my eyes would feel like they're bleeding when I was leaving there. You know what I'm talking about. And I'd have to go home and take off my clothes and take a shower because it just reeked with smoke. And one day I said, Lord, I love my mother, and I know she's not going to be around forever, but I get sick and tired of having to do all this. You got to do something. And all of a sudden, it became God's problem. And God said, well, I've been waiting for you to have that attitude. And a week later, they took her into ICU, and she almost died. And I never thought of that prayer for the 60 days she was in intensive care until the day I was bringing her home. And I had to pull the car up, and I said, Mom, let's pray and thank God for saving you. And as I began to pray, the Lord said, hey, remember that prayer? Oh, yeah. It was the Lord. And, you know, when I start passing my problems on to God and saying, God, you got to do something. This is your problem. Then God can begin to work. It's not my battle. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. In verse 20, it says, they rose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Don't you love that word? How many times is that word believe in there? Believe in the Lord. Believe in his prophets. You know what that means? Believe in the Bible. They wrote it. Believe in the Lord. And believe in the Word of God. Stand on the promises of God. Stand on the Word. So the third thing I need to do is believe. Amen. I need to believe in the Lord. I need to believe in His Word. I need to have something firm that I can stand on. I need to pray. I need to pass the battle on to Him. And then I need to just stand still and believe. Amen. That God's going to do it. That God's going to do it. Many of you guys have heard me tell the story about when I was in Abilene, Texas, and my first wife, the mother of my kids, left me because I spent our last $60 on an Atari game system. I was very mature in those days. I'm going home to mother. Well, anyway, I don't want to tell the whole story, but I was working over at this command center. They sent me over there, TDY, and they had a woman down the hall who was a friend of the secretary's there. She wore one of those woolite sweaters, if you know what I mean, man. And she came over to my desk and leaned over my desk, and she said, you better get an attorney or you will never see your little boy again. Devil's a liar. Isn't that funny how the devil likes to use... Anyway, we won't talk about that. But I looked her in the eye and said, the Lord is going to bring her back. He told me. And she goes... You know, the world rolled their eyes, religious kooks. Believe in the Lord. Doesn't matter what you're facing, believe in the Lord. Stand on His Word. If He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. God is still on the throne. I said, God is still on the throne. Believe in the Lord. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Ooh, come on, devil. Come on, he should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. Because I got the formula now. If you didn't want a formula, I got the formula. Pray. Pass it on to God. Believe and start praising him. Amen. Just go ahead and praise him. Just go ahead and say hallelujah. Just go ahead and lift your hands. Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, in the middle of your battle, just go ahead and start praising God. Hey, I tried it this week. Guess what? It works. That's right. That's right. Doesn't matter what's happening. You know, nobody can see the battles that you're facing inside your brain. They don't know what the devil's saying. They don't know what you're going through. But when you're in the middle of it, just begin to say, oh, hallelujah. What a thought. Jesus for salvation brought victory, victory. Amen. Just begin to praise God. You don't even have to do it out loud. You can be laying in bed. Nobody's listening. You go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. Every demon this side of the Pecos is starting to head south. Victory. Amen. Victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just praise him. Just praise him, church. Just begin to praise him. When you're in the middle of the battle, overcoming temptation is not that hard if you've got it all lined up and you end with praise. And you just end with praise. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were, what? Smitten. Amen. Amen. Now, the devil doesn't like this kind of sermon. You know, he likes us to talk about, you know, forgiveness and, you know, but stay away from talking about sin. Because, you know, your church, none of those people ever have, they don't have problem with sin like you do, Pastor. We all have problem with temptation. Every one of us. And yours may not be mine and mine not be yours, but bless God, we're going to win. We're going to fast and we're going to pray and we're going to be overcoming, born again, blood-bought, spirit-filled, devil-chasing, sin-killing, red-hot, born again, overcoming child of God. Amen. Aren't you glad? And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to recognize that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. I'm going to praise the Lord, and then I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to believe, and then I'm going to praise the Lord, and then I'm going to celebrate the victory. Amen. Coming up, Nola. We're going to put it to work this morning. We've got some handouts for you around. We're going to sing a great old hymn as we close this morning. There are some papers around you, and if you can't find that, it is 345 in the hymnal. It's called, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. You know what that means? It means I'm not only going to win the war, but I'm going to win every battle up until the end. I'm going to win every battle up until the end because I'm going to be there. Amen. With King Jesus, I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see my loved ones that went on before me. I'm going to see you. You're going to see me. And we're going to say, hallelujah, we made it. How'd you do it? I just praised my way through it all. Hallelujah. Whenever you're ready, Nola. Am I starting out? Oh. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time will be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is
called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and glorious morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Assurance of Salvation Sunday, so let's just have a little word of prayer and bow our heads, every eye closed. And if you're here this morning and you're just not 100% sure that you're going to be there in heaven with us, and you want to know today, you want to know without the shadow of a doubt, you want to make a public confession of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Roger, I need to make sure I'm right with God. And I don't know that I am. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you would like to just make sure you're ready, you need to pray that prayer publicly. Slip your hand up right now and let us pray with you. Anybody at all? I'm not sure I'm ready, Brother Roger. Pray for me that I would be ready to meet the Lord. Anybody at all? You're worth waiting on. Jesus died for you. All right, well, praise God. Looks like we're all ready. But maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've been struggling with some temptations in your life. And you just want us to stand with you this morning to have victory over these temptations. Say, pray for me, Brother Rogers. Slip your hand up right now. Anybody at all? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm sure there's others, but not everybody is as honest or open. It's okay. Sometimes it's kind of scary to raise your hand on something like that. I'm here to tell you, I'm right there with you guys. But we're going to win. Amen. I want to just go ahead and pray a salvation prayer, and then we're going to pray a victory prayer for agreement for those that raised your hand, just to be sure. I'm going to pray and ask Nola to lead the congregation. Follow me leading the congregation. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for my sins on a cross 2,000 years ago and promised in his word if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that he was risen from the dead, that I should be saved. And according to his word, which cannot lie, I believe I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm saved. And now for those who may have raised their hand or didn't, and you're going through an area in your life, we're going to pray. Lord, today, I believe that you have the power to let me win my battles. It's no longer my battle, Lord, it's yours. And I just cast it onto you. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to believe. Help me to cast my cares on you. And then in the moment of temptation, help me to praise my way to victory. I know, Lord, that victory is promised to every believer. And I want to be that overcoming child of God in every area of my life. So, Lord, help me to praise you to victory. In Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go. We love you.